21st century standards. Water neutral, carbon sensitive, high tech and environmentally clean. We have identified about 300 projects distributed across the province, from Freydunshahr to Khansar, Golpaygan, Mubarakeh, Kashan and Semirom. In late September, we'll present these projects at a major economic forum, inviting investors from inside Iran and abroad to review and participate. Mass preparatory work permits, feasibility studies, security assurances has already been completed.
For investors, that means opportunities in irrigation systems, food processing and agritech, sectors where demand is growing both at home and abroad. Isfahan's industrial might is powered by brains as much as machines. And then we met Farid Nejat Bakhsh, chairman of Isfahan's Association of Knowledge-Based Companies.
اصفهان رو اگر بخوایم یک وضعیت کلی از حوزه اقتصاد دانش‌بنیان درش تعریف کنیم.
Roughly 10% of all Iran's knowledge-based companies are located in Isfahan, over 1,000 firms. This is no accident. Isfahan was the birthplace of Iran's science parks. Sheikh Bahai Science Park was the first, and the Isfahan Research and Technology Park remains the only comprehensive research township in the country. Its original plan envisioned not just laboratories and workshops, but also residential areas, schools and services, essentially a self-contained city of 20,000 people where scientists and innovators could both work and live. Much of the industrial and workshop infrastructure has already developed. Residential and service expansions are expected in the coming years.
Mr. Nejat Bakhsh's story was about science, technology, and ambition. Behyar Sanat isn't chasing profits. It's taking on the kinds of challenges most would call impossible, from building radiotherapy devices to localizing entire systems once thought out of reach. And Mr. Nejat Bakhsh said that's only the beginning. Aerospace, telecommunications, transportation, energy, even smuggling control.
Earlier, I mentioned how our engineering designs can serve multiple industries. For example, the same linear accelerator system we first built for cancer treatment has now been adapted for customs inspection to scan containers for contraband. This flexibility comes from the fact that we own the full design. Once the blueprint is ours, we can apply it across different sectors.
For the CEO of Behyar Sanat, every breakthrough is more than engineering. It's proof that science can serve the people first. On a tour of his company, Mr. Nejat Bakhsh showed us the radiotherapy machines his team had built. Most of his staff, he told us, are in their 30s, young, determined, and innovative.
One of the most sophisticated features we have developed is a device that mounts onto the accelerator's output. Its job is to shape the radiation beam so that it strikes only the tumor and avoids healthy tissue. The mechanism uses 142 movable leaves. These leaves slide back and forth, adjusting in real time to match the exact contour of the tumor. Radiation passes only through the open segments, delivering precision treatment.
With prestigious institutions such as Isfahan University, the Isfahan University of Technology, and the Isfahan University of Medical Sciences, this city is a powerhouse of talent. Highly educated graduates fuel innovation in knowledge-based industries, information technology, and advanced manufacturing. For investors seeking expertise, the human capital here is a major advantage. Mr. Nejat Bakhsh also pointed to what sets their work apart, features that he says make their products competitive, not just locally, but against foreign imports as well.
Our system costs less than half the price of comparable foreign machines. A foreign unit might cost $1.5 to $2 million, about 100 to 150 billion tumans. Ours is priced below 50 billion tumans, and the savings continue beyond purchase. Foreign machines require nearly their entire purchase cost again in spare parts and service over 10 years. And maintenance costs are dramatically lower, and downtime is minimal. If a hospital anywhere in Iran requests service, we restore the machine within 48 hours. Many faults can be fixed remotely through our web-based diagnostic system. Only if necessary do technicians travel to the site.
The province hosts 179 universities and over 330,000 students. Its Science and Technology Park is home to nearly 500 companies working in photonics, nanotech, aerospace, and biotechnology. More than 200 startups are already active in IT, agriculture, and clean energy.
My advice to potential investors is this. Take a serious look at Isfahan. Energy is relatively cheap here. Skilled labor is abundant and affordable. We have outstanding universities, brilliant students, and highly capable experts. All of these elements, talent, infrastructure, and knowledge, can be harnessed both for advancing technology and for generating sustainable profits.
Of course, no story about Isfahan would be complete without its tourism industry. The city boasts 22,000 registered historical sites, 9 of them UNESCO World Heritage properties.
The opportunities in our province extend across every sector. Advanced technologies, healthcare, tourism, agriculture, IT, and more. At present, we have identified around 300 viable projects under normal investment conditions. If we could draw both domestic and international capital, we believe at least 50 of these could already have attracted substantial funding.
Isfahan is one of Iran's top tourist destinations, attracting millions of visitors each year. This influx not only strengthens the hospitality, dining, and handicraft industries, it also supports a diverse, large consumer market. For businesses, it's a rare combination of cultural magnet and commercial powerhouse. Tourism generates billions in revenue and creates demand for hotels, restaurants, and health tourism facilities. Yet, with only about 20,000 hotel beds, the sector is ripe for investment. In 2020, Isfahan exported more than $2 billion in goods, from steel and petrochemicals to carpets, ceramics, and dairy. Its products reach over 120 countries, including China, Germany, Italy, India, and markets in the Persian Gulf and Eurasian Economic Union. Imports are mostly machinery and intermediate goods, reflecting an economy focused on production rather than consumption. For foreign partners, this trade profile points to opportunity in both upstream and downstream industries, from supplying equipment and technology to joint ventures in value-added exports.
Our portfolio of projects is remarkably diverse. From cultural and industrial ventures to infrastructure, clean energy, IT, high-tech manufacturing, and even traditional sectors like steel, textiles, and chemicals. Isfahan has 85 specialized industrial parks, an extraordinary number for any province. Each park has its own specialization, from aquaculture to food processing, from textiles to carpets, from footwear to precision engineering. This breadth ensures that investors from every background and with every preference can find a suitable project.
Government incentives, including tax breaks and special investment facilities in areas like the Isfahan Special Economic Zone, make it easier for both local and foreign investors to launch their projects here. These policies are designed to boost productivity, attract capital, and accelerate economic transformation.
اونهایی که در شهرک علمی تحقیقاتی هستن
companies established in the science and research park enjoyed powerful advantages. First, knowledge-based firms are exempt from customs duties when importing their raw materials. Second, all facilities necessary for export are already provided to them. Third, investments in these companies translate directly into tax credits. To illustrate, if an investor puts $10 billion into a knowledge-based company, that entire sum becomes a tax credit. Should that investor normally owe $1 billion per year in taxes, he would effectively enjoy a decade-long tax holiday. This framework is among the most attractive incentives available anywhere in Iran today.
Mr. Safar Nurullah added the government has finally cleared one of the biggest obstacles to investment, replacing it with incentives.
Previously, securing a business license could take 6 months, a year, even two. Now, Isfahan has pioneered anonymous licenses, permits that are already pre-issued and ready to be transferred. When a new investor arrives, instead of waiting endlessly, the license is immediately placed in their name and operations can begin at once. This reform is already moving ahead very successfully in the province.
After a dip in foreign investment approvals during the coronavirus pandemic and sanctions era, new reforms are starting to pay off. In the first half of 2024, foreign investment approvals in Isfahan grew more than 11-fold, with $42 million committed to new industrial and mining projects. Mr. Nejat Bakhsh also pointed to the pitfalls of old traditional industries, underscoring why the shift to knowledge-based enterprises isn't just an option, it's a necessity.
Isfahan is known as a hub of heavy industry, but we must face reality. Our current industries, steel, cement, petrochemicals, have taken a toll on the environment, often outweighing their economic benefit. Knowledge-based industries allow us to shift the economic model from one that consumes natural resources to one that harnesses human capital and intellectual power. This is not only better for the environment, but also secures long-term competitiveness.
Beyond incentives, what may be most attractive for investors is the number of projects already underway but in need of completion.
For the coming years, we have laid out an economic master frame that includes 50 flagship transformative mega projects. These projects are designed to generate annual growth of 8%. Our goal is for Isfahan to emerge as a model green province, low carbon, water efficient, and technologically advanced. Achieving this depends not only on government, but on active public participation. These projects are not to be a state-run monopolies. They are opportunities for ordinary citizens, entrepreneurs, and diaspora Iranians to invest directly.
Across Isfahan province, 1,690 partially completed projects have been defined in sectors such as industry, tourism, and cultural heritage. With physical progress between 60% to 90%, these projects are primed for completion, awaiting the capital, knowledge, and expertise that investors can bring. Finishing them for Isfahan could result in an economic leap forward. Now is the time for global partners to join this journey and share in the rewards of its transformation.
Recently, the Ministry of Interior ranked Isfahan among the top five provinces nationwide in investment climate, alongside East and West Azerbaijan, Yazd and Hormuzgan. But unlike those border provinces, Isfahan and Yazd are landlocked. Our strength lies instead in centuries of mercantile culture stretching back to the Silk Road. The people of Isfahan have long been recognized as entrepreneurs, traders, and economic innovators. And that matters greatly for investors. Beyond official guarantees, you have the enduring support of a community that values business and welcomes partners. Even if governments change, the culture of investment remains. That stability is perhaps Isfahan's strongest guarantee.
These projects range from greenhouse complexes and food processing plants to hotels, museums, and industrial equipment factories. For investors, the groundwork is already laid. What remains is the injection of capital and know-how. So where exactly should investors look? The list is long. Downstream industries, automotive parts, consumer goods, machinery and processed metals. Agribusiness, food processing, packaging and smart irrigation. Technology, joint ventures in photonics, aerospace, electronics and medical devices. Tourism, hotels, wellness centers and eco-resorts. Logistics, cargo terminals, warehousing, and cold storage tied to the North-South Corridor. Mining, decorative stone, marble, and non-ferrous metals such as copper and zinc. Of course, investors ask about risks. Sanctions and financial restrictions remain hurdles. Bureaucracy and currency volatility add layers of complexity, but the province has shown resilience. Even during years of economic pressure, its industries maintained production, its farmers continued exporting, and its research institutions kept innovating.
Unlike traditional industries, investments in knowledge and technology cannot be blocked by sanctions. Knowledge travels through people and ideas, not through containers of customs. That makes it the safest and most profitable form of international cooperation under current global conditions. Iranian companies are already prepared to collaborate with foreign partners, splitting the process. Research and advancement development in Iran, final production in the partner country, with skills and expertise exchanged over time. This model ensures both sides benefit.
Then Mr. Nejatbakhsh showed us a piece of equipment they had no choice but to build themselves. Developed under the pressure of sanctions when importing was no longer an option.
We also had to develop our own specialized glass-making equipment. Radiation tubes for X-ray and accelerator devices require highly specific glass, fused precisely with ceramic components. Buying such equipment abroad would mean tens of millions of dollars in investment in specialized factories. Instead, with creativity and custom-built tools, we designed and built our own system, overcoming what at first seemed impossible.
More importantly, Isfahan is positioning itself within regional trade networks. Preferential agreements with Eurasian countries, growing ties with the Persian Gulf countries, and cross-border banking reforms are opening new paths for international cooperation. The story of Isfahan is ultimately about transformation. It is a place where domes from the 17th century rise above 21st century steel plants, where bazaars selling carpets and copperwork sit beside science parks buzzing with startups. For investors, Isfahan offers not just a market but a partnership, a chance to tap into its human capital, its industries, and its strategic location. Half the World isn't just a nickname, it's a vision. A city that blends heritage and opportunity, ready to share its wealth of culture and commerce with those bold enough to invest. This brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you from the whole team. Until next time, take care.
Story to the divine. Free yourself and say what's true. be yourself, though you may be few. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. You can see straight into my soul. You know in hardship I changed my goals. Now I realize I was so unwise, abandoned your advice, faced with your pride. Help was always near if we persevered, if we held up just for a while. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. My life is empty without you. Nothing I've gained is without you. If you are pleased, my soul can breathe. Where would I be without you? My heart now flees these worldly dreams, yearning for mercy from you. Now I realize I was so unwise, abandoned your advice, faced with your pride. Help was always near if we persevered, if we held up just for a while. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, salli ala al-Mustafa, al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba, wal-Al-Iqraq. Al-Hadi, al-Mujtaba,
چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters in faith who are listening to RIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad. I'm the host of this show. In this episode, we're going to talk about one of the sayings of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, that is very influential and we can learn many lessons from that. Imam Khomeini said, "The one who relies on Allah will be helped. He is Mansur." Mansur comes from the word Nasr. It means victory. Okay? Mansur means a person who will be victorious. We have in the Quran, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. So, you know, it's very related actually, because if Allah helps you, you will definitely become victorious. Okay. So is this something that we have to keep in mind in our lives? Definitely. We should always rely on Allah, not ourselves. Okay. We shouldn't say that, oh, I have a lot of money, I can buy whatever I want. Why should I even think of Allah or rely on Him when I have so much money? But the question is, who gave you all that money? Did you just make money by yourself, like without Allah giving you the ability to make that money based on your skills and your knowledge? Okay, so this is extremely important, that everything that we have is from Allah, and whatever good things happen to us, they're thanks to Allah. Allah is the one who has provided us with the necessary tools to achieve success in this world and the hereafter. And that is why we should always rely on Allah. So, if we rely on Allah in our activities, we will be mansoor. Allah will help us. Allah will grant us victory, right? In tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you and make your feet steady. Okay, so the point is that we have to always rely on Allah. Not just whenever we face a problem or we have, you know, like for our difficulties and we want to solve our problems, we say, oh, Allah, help me. No, even when we are in comfort, even when everything is going according to our plans, we should still rely on Allah. We should remember Allah, and we should always know that if it wasn't for Allah, we would perish. And that's it for today's episode of Spring of Truth. Thank you very much for being with us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
There was a spring of truth, a selection of Imam Khomeini's viewpoints.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions, Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
وسيم النار والجنة وسيم المصطفى حقا إمام الناس are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of an introduction to Nahjul Balagha. And we are currently going through a few sayings of Imam Ali, a few wisdoms of Imam Ali alayhi salam, so that we can get an understanding of the types of statements that he has, especially the wisdoms that he has in Nahjul Balagha. And we were going through the 333rd wisdom, where Imam Ali alayhi salam describes about he describes the believers, and he mentions their qualities. And in the previous session we talked about this quality of a believer that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, and he says mashghulun waqtuhu, that his time is occupied. And we explained what it means to be occupied and what it means to be busy. Today we shall discuss about this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says shakurun sabur, that a believer is thankful, he's appreciative, and he is sabur, he is patient. These are two qualities of a believer that are very important, and they go hand in hand. Inshallah, we shall discuss about this after the break.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, we say that a believer is thankful and appreciative, and he's also patient. Perhaps this is referring to the fact that in a human being, in the different, events that take place in his life, there are either events that make him happy, there are events that are compatible with his state, that means he likes them, or those events are incompatible to his state. He doesn't like them, he dislikes them. They can be either of these two, isn't it? Either you like the thing that happens to you, or you dislike the thing that happens to you. Okay? Now, when a person likes the thing that happened to him, the event is a good event for him, it's compatible with his state, then a person should be thankful. And when it is incompatible with his state, he doesn't like it, it is uncomfortable for him, that event, then a person should be patient. A believer is like that. He always reacts in the right way, because his primary aim is to do with God, is to do what God tells him, even in his internal states. So when something good happens to him, he is appreciative, he is thankful. When something bad happens to him, or something that he dislikes happens to him, he is patient, he has sabr, what we call sabr. And these are important qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions about these qualities and says that inna fi, for example, he says a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, inna fi dhalika la ayatin li kulli sabarin shakur. In several verses of the Quran, almost we have this particular statement in many verses where the words sabar and shakur have come together. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising these individuals that are patient, and at the same time they are also thankful, appreciative, and they are thankful, and also they are patient.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, this issue of a person being appreciative is very important in life. Unfortunately, sometimes people tend to disregard the issue of being thankful. So when we talk about being thankful, of course, the Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned in a general manner. That means they are thankful not only to Allah, but also to the people around them. It so happens that sometimes people who claim to be believers, with the excuse that they are only engrossed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah's word and in God's word, they tend to lack these simple, characters, like the simple characteristics like being thankful. And being thankful is there in the Quran, is also there in the riwayat, where, for example, we have a narration famously quoted that man lam yashkur al makhluq lam yashkur al khaliq, the one who doesn't thank the creation has not thanked the creator, and similar statements like this, to show that a person should be appreciative towards the smallest of actions, even of other people's actions, the smallest of things. A person should be appreciative in their hearts and also speak about it, and this increases love, it increases goodness in people. And at the same time, when we talk about patience, there are many narrations that we have about patience. Sometimes you are patient because of an adversity that happens to you. A person should not be complaining, should be instead patient and wait for what Allah wants for him to do, and at the same time work and struggle to solve that adversity. That's number one. Sometimes a person is patient because of in the wake of an evil deed that is pulling him towards performing that evil deed, but he's controlling himself and he's patient. And sometimes a person is patient while performing the acts of obedience. So these are different states of patience. Of course, it's a subject in itself. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if we are believers, then He should grant us these two qualities of being patient and being thankful and appreciative. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar.
أحمد. as true as I can to you. Cause loving you the best I can will always be my number one and only plan.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Joint U.S.-South Korea military drills have dramatically increased in frequency in the last few years, especially near the DMZ. Residents want the disturbing and provocative drills to end, and they have some support at South Korea's National Assembly, where lawmakers push back on U.S. demands.
They're simultaneously pressuring South Korea to increase training and even send strategic weapons to South Korea. Therefore, peace on the Korean Peninsula can only be achieved by boldly rejecting these demands from the U.S. military and immediately halting military exercises.
Anti-U.S. sentiment has been on the rise in South Korea, also due to U.S. President Donald Trump's tariff extortion.
FTAs and free trade have long since disappeared, and the UN and WTO systems have also disappeared. What the U.S. is doing now is literally colonialism. We cannot give in here.
It was back in September of 2018 that South Korean President Moon Jae-in and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un signed an agreement on measures to reduce tensions, particularly in the border areas. With a liberal leader back in office in Seoul, peace advocates want the 2018 deal renewed and drills to end.
Continuing these joint exercises will only serve to further fuel the fire and contribute nothing to peace. The South Korea-U.S. joint military exercises must be suspended, and the hostile and Cold War attitudes must be replaced with an attitude of dialogue and peaceful coexistence.
Calls for a stronger stance in relations with the U.S. president have been widely expressed in Seoul, underscoring public sentiment that the government should adopt a more assertive approach in its diplomatic dealings. South Korean President Lee Jae-myung is under public pressure here to take a firm stand on issues with the United States, as just days ago some 300 high-tech workers were expelled from the U.S. President Donald Trump also demands $350 billion of investment from South Korea, and for Seoul to drastically increase its military spending. On Monday, the U.S., South Korea, and Japan began another round of military drills in waters off of Jeju Island. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The relationship between the federal government in Baghdad and the Kurdistan regional government continues to swing between tension and compromise amid financial and economic complications that have yet to find a solution. But negotiation is still ongoing between the two sides.
Negotiations swing back and forth, sometimes with pressure on Erbil, other times on Baghdad. But the ultimate outcome depends on whether the region delivers its oil to the federal government in return for its full share of 12.67%. So far, however, the Kurdish stance remains unclear, both in interpreting the percentage and in its unilateral handling of oil sales.
The issue of oil export from the region through the Jihan port, which was supposed to resume at the capacity of around 400,000 barrels per day, remains on hold. Politically, there appear to be a temporary arrangement to keep matters moving until the upcoming elections, as the Kurdistan Democratic Party seeks to secure concessions through its role in parliamentary alliance and the formation of the new government.
There may be certain compromises by the government to keep matters moving forward, especially as we approach elections and the subsequent formation of a new government. The Kurdistan Regional Government, particularly the Kurdistan Democratic Party, appears to be seeking to secure certain privileges during this phase, both before and after the elections, by playing a role in the largest parliamentary coalition that nominates the prime minister and forms the new government.
with no decisive results. From ongoing committees, the unresolved files are likely to face further delays until border political deal is reached. The relationship between Baghdad and Erbil has a long swung between tension and cooperation over oil budget and authority, making it one of the main challenges in Iraqi politics. The ongoing dialogue seen as strategic opportunity to preserve national balance. Nawar Faik, Baghdad.
The Iranian delegation attending the IAEA General Conference has held an event shedding light on the country's resolution that reaffirms the prohibition of attacks on nuclear facilities. The Venezuelan envoy to Vienna chaired the event.
Welcome to this side event organized by the Islamic Republic of Iran to address the issue of the attacks against nuclear sites and facilities, a serious threat to international peace and security, and to address its implications for the non-proliferation regime.
The event was addressed by some of the IAEA states which co-sponsored it, such as China, Pakistan, and South Africa.
All the members, they should side with one side, which is preserving the NPT regime and IAEA safeguard regime. So let's work together to try to stand to side on the right side of history.
Given the grave consequences for population and the environment of any attacks on nuclear facilities, in our view, the space for attacks on nuclear facilities is non-existent.
Meanwhile, Russia called on Britain, France, and Germany, collectively known as the E3, to stop the snapback mechanism. The E3 triggered the mechanism in early August that would restore UN Security Council sanctions against Iran. The final deadline for a decision is September 27. The Russian envoy also criticized the U.S. and Israel for attacking Iranian nuclear sites in June.
What Israel and the United States did was the biggest blow to the IAEA safeguards system. The E3 should also stop the implementation of snapback mechanism in New York. Triggering snapback was illegal, politically irrelevant, and counterproductive.
Iran's permanent representative to the IAEA reiterated the illegality of the U.S. and Israeli attacks on the Iranian nuclear sites.
The attack on the Iran's nuclear facilities under the IAEA safeguard is unprecedented in the history of the agency. This is the first time, while the facility being under full scope safeguards of the agency and inspected on a daily basis, we had inspectors in all facilities almost all the time, and facilities been attacked by one non-party to the NPT and the other one, unfortunately, the depository of the NPT, which is the United States.
The U.S. delegation is meanwhile putting pressure on IAEA member states, particularly in the Western and North African regions, not to support the Iranian resolution.
In 1977, Amendments 1 and 2 of the Geneva Convention prohibited attacks and threats on nuclear facilities. But the U.S. are threatening to cut bilateral ties with countries if the Iranian resolution passes. A reckless behavior putting global security at risk. Dieter Reinisch, Vienna.
It all began with all the trappings of a traditional state visit. Horse-drawn carriage, royal pageantry, a formal greeting by the king, all behind the walls of this 11th century castle away from the public. But as the motorcade rolled, the marchers advanced in their thousands, a raucous sea of voices organized by the Trump Not Welcome coalition and allied groups, making their ire clear.
He's a rapist. He is a racist. He is enabling and funding a genocide in Palestine. He is a nightmare in all ways for the values of the UK. He is funding tax cuts for the super rich by taking away the health care of ordinary people in the United States. He's got his goons out on the street disappearing people and bundling them into the back of vans so that they vanish without a trace. He is a danger to democracy in the United States and to prosperity and peace around the world.
The visit comes hot on the heels of the far-right march in London this past week, seeing a common threat with Trump's rhetoric. The UK says ties with the US are vital for trade. For the protesters, the moral cost outweighs the political calculus.
See, the way some governments are behaving and our government is behaving is to get as close to Trump as they can in the hope of getting some crumbs from his table. You can sort of see that on the level of rationality of one country. But they are allowing, by doing that, they are empowering him to carry on behaving in all these sorts of terrible ways around the world. So I think there's an alternative where these countries in the world say to Trump, no, we're not having your tariffs. We won't let you. We won't trade with you. If you do that to us, we will trade. And I think that's what they should be doing, is seeking to take him down.
While criticizing the UK government for inviting Trump in the first place, everyone here also highlighted Trump's enabling of Israel's genocidal war on Palestinians.
My primary message to Trump is, you're supplying the arms, you're supplying the political support, you're giving the diplomatic cover to Israel. You could stop the destruction of Gaza straight away if you wanted to.
I'm part of an encampment outside the American embassy where we are pointing out that the USA is funding the genocide in Palestine, and Trump is the face of genocide.
It's been a tumultuous week for the British Prime Minister, from the far-right march to a cabinet reshuffle to the sacking of his ambassador to the U.S. over links to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein and the continued public pressure over his government's support for the Israeli regime.
Away from the pomp and pageantry extended to Donald Trump, the voices here say they want a different legacy, one not of spectacle, but of justice. They want the British government to ask itself, does it want to be remembered for its business deals with the United States or for complicity in genocide? Saeed Pourreza, London.
In central Iran, Isfahan Science and Technology Park stands as the nation's largest hub for knowledge-based companies, home to more than 780 firms specializing in fields such as lasers, medical equipment, advanced manufacturing, and artificial intelligence. Today, the park reports a robust turnover, with $60 million in exports and steadily rising figures each year, as it builds stronger links to bring Iranian innovation to global markets. Here, ideas take shape, transforming vision into reality.
We have built links with Iran's major industries. Last year, companies in this park recorded a turnover of more than $550 million, and exports topped $60 million. In recent years, we've also forged ties with BRICS and Shanghai Cooperation members, and we look forward to expanding those connections.
In recent years, we have focused on the commercialization of knowledge-based companies, boosting production, and raising their export capacity.
These companies also benefit from being in this park, an advantage that helps them boost their exports.
This is our fourth year in the park, and we've really used the connections here. Last year, our exports hit about $10 million, and this year, we're aiming for $25 million.
Companies here rely on homegrown knowledge. They save hard currency, reduce dependence on imports, and keep Iran's industry running.
Like other knowledge-based firms, we turn to the steel industry. Our mission is clear: to localize our products, put them on the market, and remove the need for imports.
We've produced precision instruments, and with these products, we've saved the country significant foreign currency in 2021 and 2023 alone, more than $30 million.
Beyond the factory floor, the park is now a gateway to global markets, connecting Iranian innovation abroad and paving the way for growth.
Exporting millions in high-tech innovations each year, this science and technology park's knowledge-based ecosystem showcases Iran's economic strength, resilient in the face of Western sustained pressure. Alireza Akbari, Isfahan.
Sudan has condemned the latest Israeli attack on the Qatari capital, Doha, calling it a blatant act of aggression. At the Arab Islamic Emergency Summit hosted by Doha on Monday, Sudan Sovereignty Council Chairman General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan described the strikes as a violation of international law and a direct threat to regional security. Sudan declared full solidarity with Qatar, its leadership, government, and people, urging decisive Arab Islamic and international action to confront Israeli aggression.
Qatar has always stood firmly with Sudan and liberation movements across the Arab and Islamic world, especially Palestine. Al Burhan's visit shows Sudan's clear support for Qatar against aggression. These attacks proved one thing: America is no ally, and Qatar is not standing alone.
Back in Khartoum, the mood reflects widespread support for Qatar, denouncing Israel's repeated attacks on civilians and critical infrastructure. The public rejects these acts of aggression and occupation, calling for accountability, justice, and a halt to violence.
We welcome Al Burhan's visit to Qatar and strongly condemn the Israeli aggression against our brotherly state. We call on all Arab and regional nations to stand in solidarity with Qatar.
The Sudanese people affirm their full support for Qatar. We denounce Israel's aggression and extend appreciation to Al Burhan and the government for responding to Qatar's invitation.
The Doha Emergency Summit concluded with a united front from Arab and Islamic states condemning Israeli aggression, which they said threatens global security. They also called for an end to the impunity Israel enjoys, emphasized the importance of upholding international law and supporting Palestinian rights. Israel struck a Doha residence last Tuesday where Palestinian negotiators were discussing a peace proposal for Gaza.
From Khartoum to Doha,